The motion of fear is defined as anxiety caused by real or possible danger, pain, and I will add the unknown. And I can look back on times in my own life when I felt this phobia. For example, I can remember seeing a picture of Anthony, our younger son, standing on the finger that juts out at the top of Half Dome in Yosemite National Park. The drop is 3,000 feet. Honestly, I still get the shivers thinking about his look at me moment. I had a certain fear when sitting in a Moscow airport, wondering if I had been forgotten by the group of baseball players that was supposed to team up with me. In fact, there I sat all alone all night. I even took a taxi ride through Moscow, hoping to find the team, but I did not. But God worked it out. He really did. But I remember as an 18-year-old first hearing that my mother had a brain tumor. And I became so worried, so fearful, that I literally got physically sick. And there are numerous times I've felt fear regarding this ministry and really its future. Lord, are we going to make it? You know, this is a church that Satan hates. In fact, Satan hates all Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches. And he's going to do whatever he can to destroy. But the point I'm trying to make is fear is real. I mean, we experience it. Presently, this world is being gripped by the fear of the coronavirus. Consequently, people are asking themselves fear-filled questions. Will I catch it? And if I do, will I survive? What if my elderly parents catch it? Will they survive? How will the virus affect my job? And will I even have a job? This virus has been so disruptive. I mean, I can't hardly imagine March without March Madness. Amen? I mean, there are people that live for March Madness. What about the Masters? What about the stock market? There are those of us who have our retirement in the stock market. Will I eat beans and franks and macaroni and cheese for the rest of my life? And we could go on. We could continue on. Again, fear is real. Let me say fear in the Christian is a function of forgetfulness. Someone has written, to the degree that you forget who God is, who you are as his child, and what you have been given by his grace, fear is your default emotion. Fear is your default emotion. The truth is, when we lose sight of God, our Heavenly Father, and cease to remember his loving care of us, we will fear. We will fail to recall verses like Matthew 6:30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. The strength of my life. There's no virus that can be stronger than God being the strength of our lives. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Don't lose your mind, ladies and gentlemen. Amen? He has given us a sound mind. And then Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. This morning, I want us to consider the encouraging truth of this verse I just quoted, Isaiah 41:10, as we face down our fears. Amen. And we'll study this verse under 3 points. Point number one is the command. Point number two is the comforter. And point number three is the cure. Under point number one, we see a twofold command. We have a twofold command here in verse 10. And the first command is, fear thou not. And then the second command is, be not dismayed. What are the two commands? Fear thou not. And the second is, be not dismayed. Now, the context of this verse is to be regarded as an address primarily to the exiled Jews during their long and painful captivity in the land of Babylon. This is what God told these folk who were going through this 70-year Babylonian captivity. And this morning, God is saying to those of you who feel captive by the coronavirus, fear thou not. Don't run. Don't be scared. Don't tremble. Don't quake. Don't be afraid. Now, this verse is most closely connected with the two preceding verses, which tell us, verse 8, but thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Friends, God is saying to you, to me, as he said to Judah, you are my servant, you are my chosen, you are my friend. I have not cast you away. So don't be fearful. Don't be dismayed. Isn't that beautiful? Don't be fearful. Don't be dismayed. I have not cast you away. I have not forgotten you. In the Hebrew, the word for dismayed is derived from a word that means to see, to look, and then to look about as one does in a state of alarm or danger. We could say God is telling us, don't be broken. You don't have to look at your circumstances as a person in awful distress. You don't have to look around in fear and in dread. Don't be broken. And so again, the twofold command, fear thou not, be not dismayed. Your heart does not have to fail you for fear. Which brings us to our second point, and that is the comforter. And what a comforter God is. For he states, I am thy God. Not I will be or I was, but today, right now, I am your God. And as your God, I am with you. See that? I am with you. I am not a God that's far away. I am near at hand. Now, how can we describe our comforter in the midst of our fear and dismay? Well, this infinite and eternal God is immutable, which means he is unchanging and unchangeable. The coronavirus does not change God. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere you are. He is everywhere you are. He is sovereign. He is the supreme ruler. He is over. He rules over the coronavirus. He is omniscient. God knows all actual and possible things. Do you not think, don't think that this took God by surprise. There's a reason for this. He is omnipotent. He is all power. There's nothing that can overcome God. He is just, which means there is moral equity with God. He's not going to be unjust to you during this time. He is love. God seeks the highest good in displaying his will. So let me say that again. God seeks the highest good in displaying his will. Don't think God is taking a vacation on you, folks. God is truth. He is in agreement and consistent with all that is represented by God himself. And God is holy. He is righteous. And through all of this, he wants to bring to pass greater holiness and righteousness in you and me. And this infinite, eternal, immutable, omnipresent, sovereign, omnipotent, omniscient, just, loving, truthful, holy God is our God. He's our God. He is our Jehovah. He is the I am that I am God, whose name emphasizes his holiness, his hatred of sin, but his love for you and me. This God is our Elohim God, our strong and majestic God. And he is further our Adonai, God, our Lord. And again, as Jehovah, God is our Jehovah Jireh, the God who will provide. He is our Jehovah Shalom, the Lord who is our peace. He is our Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. And he is God, our Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. And so I say, what an awesome El Shaddai, Almighty God, El Elyon, Most High, the strongest, strong one, El Roy, the strong one who sees, El Olan, the everlasting God, God is, who comforts us with the words, I am with thee. I am with you. I am with you in a way of special grace. I am your protector. And so of whom or of what should you be afraid? Remember Paul's words, in Romans 8, verse 31, if God is for us, who can what? Be against us. And I say, is there any greater comfort, consolation, compassion, encouragement, solace, and support? Friends, God is with us. There's no virus that can resist God's protecting and healing power and might. And so take heart. Fear not. Don't be dismayed. The God of the universe is our God, and he is with us. He never leaves us, never forsakes us, which brings us to our last point, and that is the cure. We've looked at the command. We've looked at the comforter. Now let's see what the comforter's cure is. Three things we find in this verse, and the first is he strengthens us. God says, I will strengthen thee. The perfect tense used here in the Hebrew expresses the unalterable determination of the speaker's will. Let me say that again. It expresses the unalterable determination of the speaker's will. The omnipotent God says to the anxious, doubt-filled, panicked, frightened heart, I will strengthen your soul. I will strengthen your soul so that you can perform your duties, so that you can exercise grace, so that you can bear afflictions, so that you can live life according to my will. You are not paralyzed. I will strengthen you. I think again of Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? What do the next two verses tell us? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. And then the last verse of this psalm says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. If your heart is fearful, run to the Lord. Wait on him. And then next, our comforter, God says, as he cures our fears, I will help thee. I will help you out of your afflictions and temptations, out of the hands of your enemies. I will help you bear your cross. I will help your journey to the next world. Hebrews 13:6 says, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And what a helper he is. And then the third aspect of God's cure, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. This phrase is a Hebrew mode of expression that declares that God is righteously faithful to his promises, to his word, which declares, I will sustain you, I will countenance you, I will uphold you, for my grace is a powerful protector and preserver of you. And thus we can say, though through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Ladies and gentlemen, can't we look back on times in our lives when we went through uncertainty, difficulties, situations that we did not know the way through? Hasn't God's grace brought us safely through those times? Has his grace ceased to operate? 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Now, practically, how do we overwhelm and quiet horizontal fears with the vertical reality that God is our comforter, who declares, fear not, don't be dismayed, for I will strengthen, I will help, I will uphold you. I will do so through all the fear-filled trials of life. Well, we must run to God and pray that he will enable our eyes to see in our hearts to remember his awesome glory, which means we require ourselves to quit focusing on our fears and instead meditate on the glory of God. If you focus on this virus, you're going to become fearful. But if you focus on the God who is all-powerful and all-loving and all-preserving, your heart will be filled not with fear, but with hope. He is our Father, and he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. In other words, God then becomes bigger than our fears. Now, we surely don't stick our head in the sand and deny the reality of this virus or any other virus. As I told the folk on Wednesday, we don't go around licking handles. But we don't let them become the subject of our reflection, our contemplation, our meditation. Maybe we need to turn the TV off and get the Word of God out and just say, Lord, my focus is on you and your promises. God is my Father, and he loves me, and he cares for me. And even if the virus takes me home, wow, I'll get on the bus. This world is not my home anyway. I'm just passing through. We do not have to be afraid. Rather, we fill our minds, we fill our hearts with the might and the power and the love of God. And so, yes, we truthfully face reality, but we focus, we meditate on God who is in charge of the world and everything in it. He is sovereign, he is Lord, he is our refuge, he is our fortress, in him we can trust.